Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. It seems like summer gets all the attention when it comes to great reads, but let's be honest, wouldn't you rather curl up with a book, with a hot cup of tea and a cozy blanket next to a crackling fire? Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Fall is the perfect time to catch up on your reading list, and there are dozens of new books set for release in the coming weeks. Joining me today is Marathon County Public Library Marketing Specialist Dan Richter to talk about the most highly anticipated books of the season. Some are hotly anticipated sequels, others are debut novels or books by favorite authors that are already generating a huge buzz in the literary world. And, of course, I have a few recommendations of my own to share. We'll take yours as well. Dan, welcome to Route 51.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. A little bit later in the program, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Rob Menser will join in the discussion for a preview of the third annual Central Wisconsin Book Festival. Now, that's being presented by the Marathon County Public Library and other community partners, taking place at multiple locations throughout the area. It's a chance to discover new authors, attend workshops, hear poetry readings, and a whole lot more. You can join the conversation by calling 800-780-9742. So, Dan, I know the folks at the Marathon County Public Library keep a pretty close eye on which books are getting the most attention.
We do.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to have enough copies on hand,
yep.
Right? So what's at the top of your list this season?
Well, the top of my list, I think, is probably on the top of most people's list if they are a big, avid reader. And it's Margaret Atwood's sequel to The Handmaid's Tale. It's 35 years almost in the making. The Handmaid's Tale came out in 1985. And this sequel is called The Testaments.
What do you know about it so far?
It takes place, I think, 15 years after the end of The Handmaid's Tale. And it's narrated by three different women. I think two of the characters were in The Handmaid's Tale, and the third is a new character. And they kind of let people know what's been happening since the end of the last book and changes that have developed in the futuristic society of Gilead. And I think something that people who are a fan of the book or who watch the Hulu series that it's based on or that was developed are really going to want to read it. It's, I think, been on the top of a lot of like must-read lists for the past few months. So
it is certainly generating a lot of buzz. And I'm sure that the Hulu series has helped that.
Definitely, I think. A whole new audience has gotten a whole new audience to be interested in the book, and yeah, definitely.
Have you watched the series by chance?
I have not yet.
I have. I'm so addicted. It's just incredible.
I heard it's very good, and it gets. I mean, it's on a lot of critics' lists, and audiences seem to like it. So yeah, I have to check it out.
Incredible story and very thought-provoking subject mm-hmm. matter, incredible acting. So The Testaments is the name of the Margaret Atwood book, and that is released this week?
Yep, it came out on Tuesday.
All right. And it's already shortlisted for the Booker Prize.
Yep, I saw that. And I think, you know, the Hulu series is probably a big factor in it being popular, but I think also, because it focuses on women and their state in society and where they rank. And I think women's issues are a huge conversation we're having as a nation right now mm-hmm. with, you know, the pink tax and equal pay and reproductive rights and Me Too and Time's Up and things like that. And so I think that also is why there's a lot of interest in it. It kind of is part of our conversation we're having now. And I read that that's what inspired Margaret Atwood to write the sequel. She
okay.
felt that in the intervening decades since The Handmaid's Tale was written, that a lot of those problems were kind of being solved or weren't issues anymore, but she started to see them kind of creep back up and become part of the public conversation again and be really prevalent. And so it inspired her to kind of pick up where she left off and start the conversation, I guess, again and keep things going.
Do you think she ever intended to write a sequel? I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
I believe in the interview she said that, yeah, she didn't. She okay. felt like she kind of had said what she wanted to say in that book, and she felt like a lot of the issues that were in the book or a lot of women's issues by 1985 were well on their way to being mended and being solved. And but then she started to see, yeah, that they weren't and that there was a whole crop of new ones or ones that she thought were being addressed were not. And so she thought, you know what? I think it's time that we revisit our characters and we kind of reflects some of what's happening in society in the book.
Well, I can't wait to pick up a copy. That's The Testaments by Margaret Atwood. By the way, we will have a list of all of these books on our website, WPR.org/Route 51. We'll have this list posted shortly after the show so that people can have a quick reference to these books if you don't have a pen handy. So we talked about what you're most excited about. What else is on your list?
Sure. Well, also what came out this week on Tuesday is a new book by Stephen King. So perfect for fall, more spooky kind of time of year. And it's called The Institute. And this book follows an abducted boy who wakes up and he's in an institute with other teens who have psychic abilities. And him and the other inmates are subjected to kind of torture and manipulation. So I've read that it's sort of a mashup between Firestarter and It, kind of his old work from the 80s. Also, maybe some Stranger Things kind of flavor thrown in there.
Okay.
So it's kind of suspense and thriller and a little bit of sci-fi. But I think anytime a new Stephen King book comes out, it's kind of an event because he's so still well-loved and his books are all different from one another and all have that kind of eerie twist to them. And
Certainly. I mean, he's just one of those authors that is so good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm actually in a master's program for creative writing, and we have frequently in that program studied his work and his writings about his work.
Oh, sure.
And it's also heartening to know that he was rejected many, many, many times. He had a wallpaper of rejection letters by the time he had his first acceptance. And look at him now.
Yeah,
so.
Think how sweet that must feel every time your book is at number one then after facing being told you're not good enough.
Yeah, take that. So-and-so for,
yeah. Well, it's amazing, too, that, you know, a lot of his books have been around for decades, and there's still new adaptations getting made for TV and movies. I mean, the sequel just came out a week ago as well.
Yes, we're looking forward to that.
And there's a sequel to, he wrote a sequel to The Shining that's being turned into a film as well and coming out later this year. So his work is still very much part of the conversation and part of the literary world, and people still seem to love it.
Sure, Pet Sematary was out this summer, remember? So yes, you're so right. So, okay, Stephen King. So what's next? What else?
So there's a novel coming out on the 24th of September, and it's by Ta-Nehisi Coates. He wrote the book Between the World and Me, which was a nonfiction bestseller that came out a few years ago. And so he's writing his first fiction novel, and it's called The Water Dancer. And it's cool because it's sort of a mixture of historical fiction and fantasy. It's about a slave in the 1800s who is imbued with kind of mystical powers when he's taken away from his mother at a young age. And he almost drowns in a river. His powers somehow save him, and he's kind of inspired with this new lease on life to escape from his plantation and to help others and find his way north. So I think it's a cool different twist on the Underground Railroad and 1800s slavery with this kind of mystical bent to it.
And of course, that author is just, you know, getting a lot of buzz anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, very well respected in the literary world.
Yeah, in the Between the World and Me, it was a lot about his identity as an African American man and kind of where he feels his places in America and in society. And so I think a lot of that will be filtered into his fictional characters as well. And even though it takes place almost 200 years ago, I think a lot of the same thought processes and issues that were in his nonfiction book are going to be in his fiction work as well. So I think it's always different or cool when an author goes into a slightly different genre because it's going to influence what they have to say and how they write. And so I think it's going to be also on the top of a lot of people's lists as well.
I think so. A couple other things that are coming out in September that I wanted to mention. The Secrets We Kept. I don't know if that's on your list at all. Okay. Lara Prescott wrote this book. It's a debut. And she is kind of juxtaposing these two storylines. It's a tale of these two CIA secretaries who are recruited to smuggle Dr. Zhivago, the book, Zhivago, out of Soviet Russia, where it cannot be published, of course. And then it also has the love story of Dr. Zhivago's author and his muse. So that's all put together in one really cool looking book.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, The Secrets We Kept, that came out last week, so it is available now. Also, just released is something called This Tender Land. It's a novel by William Kent Krieger. If you might remember Ordinary Grace, that was a pretty mm-hmm. good read by the same author. And this is this actually takes place in 1930s Minnesota. So I always like those stories that are in the Midwest somewhere.
Yeah, has some local flavor.
Yes. So it's kind of this epic adventure. Four runaway orphans, they escape this horrible school, and then there's a bunch of twists of fate that take them to some unexpected places. So this looks like a really good book. I really liked Ordinary Grace, so that's on my list as well.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when you have a book that takes place in Wisconsin or the Midwest, and there are maybe locations mentioned that you recognize and you know in real life, I think that really helps you connect to the content and kind of gets you excited and makes it feel a little bit more real. So
it does. It does to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah. All right, what's on your list?
So the next one I have comes out October 1st, and it's a nonfiction. It's a memoir by Augustine Burroughs, and it's called Toil and Trouble. And I really am a fan of his work. He wrote the book Running with Scissors.
Oh, yes.
About his very non-traditional childhood growing up.
Yes.
His mother suffered from mental illness, and she ended up leaving him with her therapist to live and left. And so he lived there with his therapist's children and some other children that were left by their parents. And it was, to say the least, it was a very wacky, mm-hmm. Sometimes troubled upbringing. And so I think that definitely influenced his writing. And most of his work is nonfiction or memoir. But this one is about, I guess, him trying to figure out if he's a witch.
Which, really? Okay.
Yeah. So he said that growing up, he always felt that he could intuit things that he shouldn't have been able to know or figure out. And he always felt, I guess, kind of different or like kind of like there was mysticism in the air. And his mom would say, oh, it's because we're descended from a very long line of witches. Didn't you know that? And so he figured for a while, it's just, you know, her kind of crazy talking, but he has noticed in his adult life that he still can intuit and manifest things that he thinks is not natural. And so he's kind of exploring his family history, the spiritual kind of realm, the different things people believe in. So he kind of put it all together in this book, Toil and Trouble, which again kind of fits in with the fall theme. So,
oh yeah, and especially witches in October. Yeah. It sounds like a good one. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of his work, so I think mm-hmm. that's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
One memoir I wanted to mention is Diamond Doris. It's the true story of the world's most notorious jewel thief. Now, apparently, Doris Payne. She apparently learned how to steal the very best jewels by reading Town and Country. This is her story. Like, she figured out how to do it. And her memoir has it all. I mean, stories of growing up in Depression area West Virginia to her greatest heists, her prison breaks. I mean, this is really just a rollicking good read. It sounds like it's going to be fantastic.
That
I
would
can't
be.
Wait. So yeah, Diamond Doris, The True Story of the World's Most Notorious Jewel Thief by Doris Payne. That is released this week.
I mean, just to get into the mindset of someone who is,
does
yeah,
that?
Right, yeah.
Who does
so
that?
It makes you wonder, yeah, the psychology behind it. Like, how did you get on this path and how did you get so good at it? And I'm sure it was a thrill. And so to hear her thoughts, I think, would be amazing.
Exactly. Well, we have to take a little break. Marathon County Public Library Marketing Specialist Dan Richter with us today talking about the most highly anticipated books of the season. A little bit later in the program, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Rob Menser will join in the conversation for a preview of the 3rd annual Central Wisconsin Book Festival that's coming up later this month. When we return after the break, we'll offer more suggestions, and we're going to talk about how to use the library's app to reserve and download these titles and others, of course. You can join the conversation at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Marathon County Public Library Marketing Specialist Dan Richter is with us today. We're talking about the most highly anticipated books of the season. A little later in the program, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Rob Menser will join in the discussion for a preview of the third annual Central Wisconsin Book Festival. We would love to hear from you, too, if you have a suggestion. Maybe you have a favorite book you're most excited to read this fall. The number to call, 800-780-9742. So, Dan, you were a guest on Route 51 a few months ago. We talked about summer reads, the beach reads.
Yep.
And we touched briefly on the library's app. I have to tell you, after that discussion, my husband and I both downloaded it and used it a lot over the summer.
Good.
And we were so excited. We were like, wow, this is great, especially when we were on vacation and we could just very quickly download something so we never ran out of things to read. So can you explain a little bit about Libby for people who might not know about it?
Sure. Yeah. So Libby is an app. It's free to download in the Google Play Store or in Apple. And you can also use it with Kindle devices as well. And you log in with your library card number, and you basically can download and check out for free audiobooks and ebooks. You get them for up to 21 days for ebooks and 14 days for audiobooks. And you can download up to 10 at a time. And it's really great because you have them all on your one device, or you can download them if you want on multiple electronic devices. And the best part of it is, I think, the biggest selling point is that there are no late fees, because when your time is up with a book or an audiobook, it just kind of disappears and goes back into the system for the next person. And it's very low maintenance.
Yes, yes. In fact, I think it was a week ago, I had one night left before my book had to go back, and my husband kept talking to me. I was like, stop it, I'm reading. This book has got to go back. But it really was it has been a great way to read books. And one of the things that you had mentioned to me was that, you know, some of the new titles take a long time, because it takes a long time to be on a waiting list to reserve them.
Yep.
But boy, you can discover some other authors, some new stuff. We've really had a great time with it.
Yeah, the common misconception, I think, about the app is that people think if it's digital, there are not wait times, because it's just, you know, kind of like a book that's in the ether and that they can download it at any time. But there are still only a finite number of copies for each digital book. And so you do have to wait sometimes. But yeah, the great thing is it has a huge hundreds of thousands of titles in the catalog. And so while you're waiting, there's plenty of other things you can look for and by very popular artists and authors. So I think there's always something to find. And there's everything from nonfiction and historical fiction to romance and cookbooks and everything you can imagine.
Yeah, it's not just a regular book. I mean, there are cookbooks and books on crafting and those kinds of things, which I think is really neat too.
Definitely.
So the name of the app is Libby. So just wanted everybody to know about that.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're talking about the most anticipated books of the fall season. Mm-hmm. So what is next on your list?
Well, another book coming out on the 1st of October is by Stephen Chbosky, and it's called Imaginary Friend. And people might know him from writing the book The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which was a young adult novel, but it was also turned into a movie a few years back. And this is his first book in 20 years. His last one was written in 1999, and it almost sounds very Stephen King-like. It's about a mother and a son who escape from an abusive situation, and they're on the run, and they end up in this small, more rural community, and the son goes missing for 6 days. And so by the sixth day, everyone kind of figures that the worst has happened, and he's not coming back. But he emerges from the woods, and he seems unscathed. But as he spends more time around his mother, she kind of notices that things might be a little bit off here and there, and he might not be exactly the same as when he left. And so it kind of follows, he's being torn between a world of kind of good and evil, because he has this imaginary friend, he says, that he has now that's telling him things and kind of influencing him. And so she wonders if there is truly some kind of spirit or imaginary being, or if there is maybe mental illness going on, or if something happened to him in the 6 days that he was gone. But it sounds like it's like a horror thriller, and
that sounds like a really intriguing story. Speaking of missing children, there's one on my list called Heaven My Home. It's by Attica Locke, and that is coming out next week. You might be familiar with Attica Locke. Not only won an Edgar for her 2017 novel, Bluebird, Bluebird, but she is also a writer for the TV show Empire.
Cool.
So very, just a very well-known writer. But this is a mystery about a 9-year-old boy who also goes missing. But his family is a group of white supremacists. And it's a very complicated tale. And she is just such an outstanding writer with her this vivid prose and outstanding descriptions. I can't wait for that book to come out.
Yeah, that sounds excellent.
Yeah, that is called Heaven My Home, Attica Locke. So, all right. What's
I have another book on my list now to read.
Let's hear it.
It is Silke's Journey. It is historical fiction, and it's by an author named Heather Morris. And she had a best-selling book last year called The Tattooist of Auschwitz that people seem to really love. And it's based on real people, but she has a fictional twist to it. So she kind of takes her own creative license. But this is a semi-sequel to that book. Silke was a kind of side character in The Tattooist of Auschwitz. And this book follows her after the events of that book. And in The Tattooist of Auschwitz, she was kind of made to... She was in the camp, and she was made to be kind of like a be in a sexual relationship with one of the members of the Third Reich. In this book, she after the camp is liberated, she's mistakenly thought to have been complicit in some of their acts, and so she is sent to a labor camp in Siberia. So she faces a lot more hardships, it might be some kind of tough, heavy reading, but she has some really, very vivid prose. She's a very, I think, detailed author, and people seem to really, really love her book last year.
This book is actually on my list as well. I mean, the thought of going to a concentration camp and then you're separated because of your beauty,
mm-hmm.
and then you're liberated and you think this is great, and then she ends up charged with sleeping with the enemy, basically, mm-hmm. collaborating with the enemy. So I think it's going to be just an incredible book. And The Tattooist of Auschwitz was outstanding as well.
Yeah, people have said it's very, very powerful. It made them cry, made them feel things they have never felt before.
Yes.
So I think that the fact that, she's kind of following up with a continuation, I think people will be very, very happy. And they'll be, intrigued to see where the story takes them next.
Without a doubt. And if you haven't read The Tattooist of Auschwitz, it is an excellent read. It will stay with you for a long time. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to put that out there as well. So yes, we had that same one on our list.
Awesome.
All right. What's next?
So there's another author that's coming out with a book this fall that people probably know. It's Jojo Moyes. It's called The Giver of Stars, and it comes out October 8th. And she wrote Me Before You and the sequels to that. And this book is also historical fiction. And a lot of her work takes place in the UK because that's where she's from. But this book, it takes place in 1930s Kentucky. And it's about an English bride who marries a man from the States. And she starts volunteering her time working at a traveling library, one of Eleanor Roosevelt's traveling libraries. And she meets a group of Southern women who are very boisterous and who say what they want to say and are very lively. And they kind of bring her out of her shell, and she really kind of finds a new community in a whole another continent.
Okay, that sounds good too. Mm-hmm. One I wanted to bring up is a memoir, Jeannie Vanasco's memoir. It's called Things We Didn't Talk About When I Was a Girl. That's not on your list, I don't think, because it comes out October 1st.
That's a great title.
Yes, it's very timely since there's so much conversation about the Me Too movement and sexual assault, but this is a little bit different because this is her account of her own sexual assault by a close friend, and then she decides decades later to talk to him about what happened. And this is that story about how they talked to one another and they communicated about what happened, and they were both able to find some healing from that. It's a little bit different than just kind of a finger pointing thing, but more of a, I decided to take this into my own hands and talk it over and confront him it's a really compelling story that really explores the nuances involved in sexual assault, especially when it's somebody you know and, mm-hmm. and love. So that one I think is a must read for me. Things We Didn't Talk About When I Was a Girl.
Talk about powerful writing. I mean, what it must have taken to, go through with that conversation and to reconnect with this person and mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, resolve this and then write about it for everyone to read must have been a really very emotional undertaking. But yeah, it definitely sounds like a must read.
Yeah, it's on my list.
And again, a very, I mean, timely thing. I mean, it's in the news and people coming forward now that we know personally or in the public eye who have faced varying degrees of sexual assault. And so I think, yeah, it's going to resonate with a lot of people for sure.
And it's a little bit different take on it. It's not just it's not a book about, hey, this happened to me and I want to out the person. Mm-hmm. Then there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. But this is a woman who's saying, I chose to sit down with my attacker. I chose to have a conversation. This is how it went. This is how we both feel about it now.
Yeah.
And what happened and how our relationship is mending itself. So
yeah, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah. All right. Next on your list, Dan.
So this one is another sequel, years in the making. It's called Olive Again, and it's by Elizabeth Strout, and comes out on the 15th of October. And she wrote the book Olive Kitteridge in 2008, and it was turned into a critically acclaimed miniseries on HBO. And so this is a follow-up to that. So this novel picks up where the last one left off, and her books tend to be kind of like meditations on a person's life, but they're all fictional people. So it kind of explores Olive's different relationships with her kids and her students. She was a teacher in the last book, I think a retired teacher, and different people in the community. And so you get to know her through her interactions with these other fictional characters, which I think is really unique because even in real life, kind of how one person knows you might be totally different than how another person in your life views you or knows you and kind of interprets your personality and who you are. So I think it's fun to read books like this. It's a whole different take on.
That book was on my list as well. It's on my list of fall reading for sure. Mm-hmm. Excellent author, and I think the sequel is going to be great.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. I want to remind our listeners, too, if you have a book you'd like to recommend, you're welcome to call us. Join the conversation, 800-780-9742, as we continue our discussion on the best, hottest books of the fall season. What's next, Dan?
Well, there's another one that I'm very, very personally excited for, and it's Elton John's much-awaited autobiography called Simply Me. And I think a lot of people are going to be wanting to read this, especially after seeing Rocket Man. I know he's like on this huge 3-year world tour, farewell tour. So I think this is definitely Elton John's time. And a lot of people are going to be interested in reading what he has to say.
This is on my list as well. And I'm 51, so I grew up with, you know, listening to Elton John. He was a staple in my radio listening as I was growing up. Every song is familiar to me. And I'm just an enormous fan. I didn't see Rocket Man in the theater. I just watched it on video the other day. And I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to. I love Elton John, but mm-hmm. So I am particularly looking forward to this book because it is from Elton John's point of view.
Sure.
And I think that's going to be really neat.
Well, and even watching that movie, you forget sometimes there's such a huge array of songs that were hits that everyone loves to listen to and dance to and do karaoke to. There's just like an endless amount. And so, yeah, to hear the stories behind these songs. And I mean, with the movie, you got a glimpse of his upbringing. I know I read an interview where his mother was, I think, a gunner in World War II for the British Army.
I didn't know
and
that.
And so, the movie kind of portrayed this, but her and his father were kind of more cold, distant parents. And that, of course, shapes you as a person as you're growing up and being gay at a time that it was not socially acceptable and you really had to keep it hidden, especially if you're a public figure. And his issues with drugs and alcohol, of course, shaped his career, and he kind of got back on track and has been sober now for quite some time. So I think all of that combined sounds like an amazing book to read about one single person, all these events that have happened. And
absolutely, and to hear it from his point of view, I think mm-hmm. I think that's just going to be amazing. There's another memoir that I wanted to mention called Wild Game. It's by Adrienne Brodeur. This is a debut novel memoir where she tells this story about her mother who engaged in this decades-long affair, and she made her daughter complicit in the whole lie. Like she she made her the co-conspirator, had to lie for her, and it was a big responsibility. And this book really talks about how initially when she was younger, she cherished that role of being her mother's confidant, but then it broke her later on. So I'm looking forward to that as well. I think people's stories, the memoirs are just fascinating to me because everybody has a story, and hearing people's stories to me, that's great reading.
Well, even the psychology behind that, I'm sure, like you said, at the time she felt like it's bringing us closer. We share this secret and I'm helping you and you trust me.
Right.
And then looking back on it, maybe with an adult perspective or as you get older, it's like that. Yeah, you shouldn't have asked that of me, and I shouldn't have been involved, and I shouldn't have known these things, and
yeah. So that's fascinating to me. That's Wild Game by Adrienne Brodeur, and again, I want to remind listeners that we will be putting this list up on the website wpr.org/route51. Sorry. A little brain freeze there, so that you can refer to that, and we'll have the dates and the authors and the names so that you can follow along. So do you have anything else on your list?
Yeah, I have one last one.
It's good. Okay.
The Starless Sea by Erin Morgenstern. People might know her from the book The Night Circus, which came out in 2011. And this is her first follow-up book since then, so almost 10 years later. And it comes out on November 5th. And it has a really unique premise, I think. It's about a graduate student who is reading a book in the library. And he sees some of his own personal history from his childhood in the book as like one of the stories. And he kind of follows the clues in the book, and he finds this kind of secret underground, glitzy New York party. And underneath this building is this ancient library that is full of fantastical creatures and a whole different magical kind of realm. And he's somehow connected to it, but not sure how. And so he explores that. And I just don't think I've ever read a book that sounds anything really like that.
So. I'm looking forward to that, too. It's on my list. It was the last one on my list, too. I did read The Night Circus, and that was a really cool read, too. It was very unusual, but incredible writing. So I expect nothing less from this one.
Yeah.
And the storyline here sounds even better than The Night Circus to me.
Definitely. Yeah. With the kind of fantastical, magical twist to it, you kind of never know where it's going to take you, and anything is possible. So that's the fun in that, is that you don't really know where she could go in a million different directions. So
exactly. All right. That is our list of books. Marathon County Public Library Marketing Specialist Dan Richter, thank you very much for sharing these books. Great suggestions
anytime.
To stock up our shelves. Great reads for fall. Again, the name of the app to reserve and download titles is called Libby. It's available for both iOS and Android. But coming up next, a preview of the 3rd Annual Central Wisconsin Book Festival with Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Rob Menser. You can join the conversation too, 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Joining us now is Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Rob Menser with a preview of the 3rd Annual Central Wisconsin Book Festival. Marathon County Public Library Marketing Specialist Dan Richter continues with us as well. And we'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 800-780-9742. Rob, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. So the Central Wisconsin Book Festival happening later this month. What is it? How did it start? Tell us about it.
Right. So this is the third year for the festival. And while it is true that I am a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter, I'm here just sort of as a member of the board of the Central Wisconsin Book Festival, something I got involved in earlier this year. So it was sort of like founded by Chad Daly of the Marathon County Public Library, Dan's colleague, and Jill Stukenberg here at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point at Wausau, who's a creative writing professor. And they started the festival a couple years ago, so it's been growing. And as a sort of fledgling festival, they reached out to some other community members to get involved for this year's event, and I was one of them.
Well, congratulations. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It's super fun.
Yeah. So I got to ask, there are other festivals in Wisconsin, but not very many. There's one in Madison, right? There's one in Green Bay that I know about. This is the third year in Wausau. But why Wausau? Why, what, you know, I mean, What made Wausau be the perfect location for a festival like this?
Sure. Well, so I think Eau Claire has one. There's a Fox Valley thing. You know, the book festivals are around. But I mean, I think the question why Wausau is kind of like that's sort of like exactly the good reason to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Wausau is a small city. But there is a community of people here who care about books and who care about reading and writing. Or maybe even a better way to say it is there are a few kind of like overlapping communities of those people. Mm-hmm. And so a book festival event is a good way to sort of bring people together. You know, the organizers have tried all 3 years to make it something that speaks in some way to Wisconsin writing, whether that's people who are from central Wisconsin or whose work has a connection here. And not to get too, like, I don't know, abstract about it or spiritual about it, but like reading by its nature is a solitary practice. And that's sort of the whole thing about it is you get to connect with an author or someone else's mind through reading, but like that leaves out this whole social component. And so to have an event, multiple events, you can come together with other people who share this. There's something really like valuable to that.
Yeah. I mean, Dan, how has React been the last couple of years? You've been involved the last couple of years too.
Yeah, we've had a really good response. And I like that every year it seems to be growing a little bit and events are held at more and more locations around the Wausau area. And I think the thing I like the most about the book festival is I did not realize just how many published writers there are from our area. There's Tim Seeley, a graphic novelist who was visited during the first year. This year there's Craig Thompson, who's from the area as well. And I did not realize that these really talented, very successful people have roots here in central Wisconsin. So I think that's the big thing is a lot of people might not realize that as well.
I didn't realize it until I was looking over the list of who's all going to be here. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt. There's some great ones. Yeah. And people who are from here, who still live here, that something about Wisconsin informs the work. It's that's kind of fun to think about in itself.
Yeah. Well, what are you most excited about?
Well, so I'm very excited. First of all, not to like blatantly plug, but there's probably more events than what we'll be able to talk about.
Oh yeah.
So I do want to say people can go to can find Central Wisconsin Book Festival on Facebook and see all the events there, or go to mcpl.us/cwbf, the library site / Central Wisconsin Book Festival, to see everything, because there are a lot of events. One that I'm very excited about is Hanif Abdurraqib is a poet and essayist. He's not a Wisconsin guy, actually. He's from Columbus, but he's a Midwestern writer. Mm-hmm. And he had a book earlier this year called Go Ahead in the Rain that was about his relationship as a fan of the rap group Tribe Called Quest, which is great,
yeah,
which I love.
Yeah.
And he has a brand new book of poetry that's getting a lot of like national attention and being written up in these big places. And the Central Wisconsin Book Festival is the only stop on his book tour in Wisconsin. So mm-hmm. he's not going to Madison or Milwaukee or whatever. And so we're proud to have him. He's a fascinating writer, and that event is at the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art. People will know as the old Wausau Club, a historic place in Wausau.
Yes.
And I think that's going to be a cool place for an event and should be a really interesting reading.
Oh, for sure. And you had given me a clip of his work. So this is him reading from his poem, How Can Black People Write About Flowers at a Time Like This? Just a short clip here. Let's hear it.
How can black people write about flowers at a time like this? And it turns out lineage is the most vicious stunt of them all. So name me after the first hands to shake the dirt off my arms and lay diamonds on my wrist. Or name me after the pistol kept in the nightstand of a free man who wasn't afraid to use it. You get what I'm saying. Name me for the bride I crane my neck towards each time she runs the pitch black gospel choir back into town. Imperial in my stunt. Gold all in my mouth.
All right. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
lyrical. This, it's great. No, it's going to, I think it's going to be really powerful. His new book has components about grief at the loss of his mother, and also like a whole thing about the scientist Nikola Tesla. It's interesting. It's cool.
Okay.
It's all over the place.
All
it's
right.
great. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. What else is going on? Let's see. We've got a couple of poetry readings. We have some ways to meet some authors. I know one of the favorites of Route 51's listeners, Victoria Houston, will be giving a reading as well. She has been on this program a number of times, so that's neat.
Talk about, I mean, kind of cool locations. It's at Trails End Lodge, which I think is really cool, reflective of her work and the settings and her novels. So I think that's a really cool way to kind of bring her to the area at a very cool setting for her to do her reading in.
Yeah, totally. She's so people know Victoria Houston. She's a Northwoods mystery novelist, the Loon Lake series, and almost all of those books are the titles are named after like a fishing lure.
Yes.
And so we're having her out at this at the Trails End Lodge, sort of on the west side, but it's on this like Wisconsin River backwater, and so it's a totally appropriate place for given the settings of her novels, and that I think that should be a really fun place to hear a mystery reading.
That is a perfect place, and I hope the weather is good so they can have it outside on their deck.
Yeah,
they have this wonderful deck that
mm-hmm.
overlooks just a portion of the Little Rib River. It's just a very tiny finger of it, but what a great setting. And I noticed too that you think book festival and you're like, oh, I'm going to go to the library, but no, there are a bunch of different places. I even saw one at Jalapenos, right? And then there are some at the Marathon County Historical Society. How did you guys pick these locations?
Right. No, that's exactly it. It's fun to have events at the festival at different places around the city, different venues. And we tried to think about what was a venue that was right for that particular event. So, yeah, there's a poetry reading with the poet Heidi Zerwick. And before she reads, there's going to be sort of like an open mic poetry reading. And that's at Jalapenos in downtown Wausau in this downstairs space. That'll be sort of this open space that I think will be a great place for a reading. And, they have nachos.
that never hurts.
Exactly.
So that's great. The Historical Society, we mentioned the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art, which is really cool. Cool space. A bunch of things at the library, which is a good space in itself. So, yeah, it's fun to be in different places. You might hear things a little differently or have a different experience.
About accessibility. I mean, for an open mic, you might not be so apt to maybe get on stage at the Center for Civic Engagement, but you at Jalapenos, you might feel like, hey, I'm feeling the room. I'm going to read this poem I have.
Yeah, so. Your friends are there. It's more communal, communal type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the neat aspects about this festival. I mean, just so many different ways to enjoy it, so many different aspects of it. I see there are a couple of panels. There's a family memoir workshop that caught my eye. Jen Rubin, is that how you say it?
Yeah,
Jen Rubin?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
So Jen Rubin is a native New Yorker, and she's the author of a memoir called We Are Staying, 80 Years in the Life of a Family, a Store, and a Neighborhood. That's about her family's shop in New York City. We have a clip from her, the book trailer for that.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
You know, you spend any time on the Upper West Side and you see Lost Our Lease signs everywhere. You see for rent signs everywhere. And I feel like no one's really talking about, what exactly does a neighborhood lose when it loses a longstanding business?
So she is a New Yorker. She lives in Madison now. And she wrote this book that is a memoir, that is her own family's story, but that is also a story about the arc of this neighborhood and the city of New York itself changes. And so she'll speak, she'll both, there are two events. She's doing a reading as part of the festival and also a memoir writing workshop, which I think is really interesting. People like memoir is a genre people want to read and value. And I think sometimes people maybe think like, I just write down some stuff, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, and, but of course, it's there. There's like a lot that goes into it. You have to make a ton of choices about how to present that. It might very well involve like reporting, you know, mm-hmm. just because it's your own personal story doesn't mean you don't have to like go out and gather information. And so she'll speak about what goes into making those personal stories like work as memoir.
Okay, that sounds fascinating to me. And that is happening on Saturday the 28th at the Marathon County Historical Society. I want to remind our listeners, too, that it's easy to find this entire lineup. Even if you just Google Central Wisconsin Book Festival, you'll find it. It comes up right away. So, and we'll post a link too on our website after Route 51 today as well. So, also a local authors panel, I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is homegrown, right? On Saturday morning, I believe, at the library, Saturday the September 28th. That is mm-hmm. So this is going to be a panel of people who live and write in central Wisconsin, and they'll talk about why they choose to do that. What, you know, there are some – well, I live here. I love living here. It's a great place to live, and,
sure.
and I'm sure that there are many benefits. There probably are also some challenges to being a professional writer in a smaller city or in a rural area, and that's interesting too. That's going to be a panel that might be of interest to other folks who are – you know, who are interested in writing or wondering about how you can be a writer from a place like Central Wisconsin.
Sure. You know, Dan, I'm curious. You've been at the library for a few years now, and you've been through these events before. How has it kind of evolved over the years? How has it changed over the years? Has it gotten bigger? What's different?
It definitely has gotten bigger, and I think one of the things is there are more panels now that people can kind of pick the brains of published authors or kind of figure out how they got into writing and the path that they took. I think the workshops are really beneficial. There was one last year on starting your own podcast. There was a workshop on starting your own blog. And then the one this year on kind of writing your own memoir. So they're instructional as well as educational. And there's just a vast array of topics. I mean, two of them I'm really excited about are the one on Madison in the 60s that's happening on the 28th at the Historical Society, because we all know Madison is like this fun, alternative, funky place. It's kind of like the Portland of Wisconsin or the Midwest, and how it got that way and how the different events of the 60s really influenced how what happened in the ensuing decades. And then also on Sunday, the 29th, the book The Thousand Miler of someone who walked the entire Ice Age Trail in Wisconsin. I think people who might have read Wild by Cheryl Strayed or A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson might really, or who just enjoyed the outdoors, might really be interested in that or can really appreciate the work and the journey that was.
Yeah, for sure. I thought there's such a different range of subjects. That's what really caught my eye.
Absolutely. Just to shout out a couple other of the events. There's going to be a really fascinating talk that is a collaboration with the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. And it's a talk by a former white supremacist who became friends with a Sikh man from Milwaukee who had lost his father in the racist terrorist attacks in 2012 in the Sikh temple in Milwaukee. And so these two, they have written a book together. It's called The Gift of Our Wounds, a Sikh and a Former White Supremacist Find Forgiveness After Hate. And it's kind of like couldn't be more important.
Wow.
Right now.
Right.
The authors are Arno Michaelis and Pardeep Singh Kaleka. It's just an unvarnished look at the sort of ideology that attracted this guy into this hate group, but also how he came out of that, how he is no longer part of that, and they have started together a nonprofit organization that's meant to promote public service and kind of like understanding. So I think that's going to be a really great, fascinating talk. That's on Monday, September 23rd. Mm-hmm. It's at the Wassa East High School Auditorium. That kind of like kicks off the event.
Okay. And now, is there a charge for anything? Is it all free, or are there some charges for things?
It's all free for the there's no charge for any of the event. People are invited. There are some of the workshops we asked for people to sign up in advance, and for the Hanif Abdurraqib reading, because space is limited at the Wassa Museum of Contemporary Art, there are Eventbrite tickets, online tickets that you can get to reserve a spot in case that does fill up. But there's no charge.
All right. And just very quickly then wrapping up, where can people get more information about the book festival?
Please do go to mcpl.us/CWBF or Google Central Wisconsin Book Festival or find Central Wisconsin Book Festival on Facebook. And you can see all the events lined up and see which ones appeal to you.
All right. Well, that is all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. I want to thank our guest, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Rob Menser, Marathon County Public Library Marketing Specialist Dan Richter. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our on-air producer today is Joy Ratchkramer, thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at wpr.org/Route51. Next week, we'll discuss efforts underway to increase diversity and retain a diverse group of students at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Until then, we're headed out of town.